from Formula One to MotoGP. This is your home for all of the fastest motorsports on the planet. This is Beyond the Visor. Welcome, welcome, welcome everyone to another episode of Beyond the Visor. Once again, I'm Michael Hernandez alongside Bobby C. Bobby, how's it going?
Michael, it's doing pretty well over here, except for the fact that my picks in the Formula One, I would say, challenge between you and I didn't go as I expected. And I know that you're going to be gloating a lot on this podcast, so
I'm just
not excited about that at all.
Yeah, I mean, so obviously we had an episode last week previewing the Azerbaijan Grand Prix, and here we are around, I think exactly 1 week later, because I think we recorded last week's episode on Thursday.
Midweek, yeah.
Yeah, so, and the special thing about this is that this is actually going to be a bigger episode, because we have Last Race to discuss. We're also going to introduce a new segment where we go around the world in motorsport. We're going to talk about other racing
series.
We've
kind of done that a little bit already.
Yeah, obviously we had the one episode which was just that, but I feel like we should introduce a new segment that is, you know, at least every week we try to include some others.
Give some love to some other series.
Exactly, exactly. This is not just an F1 podcast. This is a motorsport podcast. And then obviously we have another race in less than 24 hours with the Miami Grand Prix.
We're going to Miami.
Exactly, exactly. So a jam-packed episode. We're not going to waste any time. We're going to get right into the first segment, which was the Azerbaijan Grand Prix. As we had said before last week and into the buildup, Azerbaijan is known for a lot of excellent races. But I'm going to be honest, this race was not that entertaining compared to those of years past. But before we get into the race, as we mentioned last week, this was the start of a new weekend format.
Sprint format.
Exactly. So just as a reminder, it was practice one on Friday, then qualifying on Friday as well. Qualifying would set the order for the race, which is on Sunday. On Saturday, we had a totally new format. We had the sprint shootout, which was basically a shortened form of qualifying, and the sprint shootout would then set the grid for the sprint, which took place later that day. So now the sprint was more isolated, so your sprint results could no longer affect where you start in the race. It was meant to promote, I guess, more overtaking, because if you crash your car, that doesn't mean you're starting at the back of the grid. It's just, you know, you lose maybe a couple of points in the sprint. With only one practice, it gives the drivers and teams less time to gather data. They don't know if their setup is the right call. You know, for all you know, and for all they know, they could have, you know, assumed in the simulator, okay, you know, if we have the car like this, it'll perform like this on track. But you know, you need those practices to really get the car and to get the drivers in tune with the circuit. And with only one practice, it really, you know, limits the amount of mistakes that a driver or a team could make.
Yeah, Michael, for me, I actually thought that the sprints were better than the race itself. I thought the race was not an instant classic, and I thought we saw some of the better performances leading into the race.
Mm-hmm. So heading into qualifying, the first qualifying on Friday, the one for the race, we saw Bobby C's favorite driver, or at least for a Ferrari fan, their favorite driver, Charles Leclerc, getting pole ahead of the two Red Bull. And I'm pretty sure I shot you a text over this saying, oh my God, Leclerc is on pole. Are you saying there's a chance? Because, you know, we were talking about how Leclerc really needed to get a good result this weekend. You know, they really needed to bounce back after the horrible start to the season. But just to go over the qualifying result, it was Leclerc on pole, then Verstappen in second, Perez third, Leclerc's teammate Sainz in fourth, Hamilton in fifth, Alonso in sixth. I would go through all 20, but I'm really not going to. So I'm going to ask you, Bobby, as a Ferrari fan, as our resident Tifosi, when you saw that Leclerc was on pole for the race itself, so on Friday, you know, you saw that he got pole, did that give you any confidence, or were you just like, oh, this is just delaying the inevitable, you know, Red Bull are going to storm away with this?
See, I actually jotted down, too. I have our picks from both the sprint and the actual race in terms
our
of pole,
qualifying
podium.
Predictions?
Yeah. Okay. And I think both of us kind of projected that we might see someone else other than Red Bull. But, I mean, ultimately you ended up just, you know, copping out and going
what
Red
did I
Bull
say,
1-2.
Perez?
But for you, on the sprint pole, you had Max, and the podium was Max, Alonso, Checo, 1-2-3.
Mm-hmm.
And then for me, I went sprint pole Charles, or Charles, and then Max and Checo.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the race itself on Sunday, you actually picked the podium, which is fantastic. Yeah.
I'm so good.
So you went Checo, Max, and Charles, and you had Max on pole, though. So that obviously was wrong. But
so
you picked the podium itself.
Yeah.
And then for me, you know, with my outlandish picks, because I'm rooting for drama here, I went Checo on pole. So that would have been accurate had I kept him, I guess. But then I went Checo finishing second, and Alonso winning his first race of the year, and then Lewis actually getting a podium. So I think both of us were kind of around it. I mean, again, you were right on it in terms of picking the actual podium.
I'm the F1 master.
Yeah.
But so obviously, as we said, for qualifying,
you weren't right about Logan Sargeant, though. By the way, getting his first.
Unfortunately,
point.
Yeah. So now going on to the sprint shootout, second qualifying. It's honestly, I'm not that much of a fan of this shootout.
I didn't answer your question, too, to hop back in.
I forgot what I asked.
About the confidence with Leclerc.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's done very well in the past with being very good in qualifying.
Quali, yeah.
It doesn't necessarily translate to the race. So, to me, it didn't have any bearing on what I thought the actual outcome would be on Sunday.
So going into the sprint shootout, and we're going to discuss, I think, our opinions on the format. So, as Bobby said, Leclerc got pole again for the sprint shootout, followed by Perez, then Verstappen. So a reverse of the qualifying, where it was Verstappen-Perez. This time it was Perez-Verstappen. Then for the sprint race, I'm going to be honest, I did not watch it because Azerbaijan is far away and time zone differences, so I did not really watch the sprint. What I do know is that Perez did win the sprint race ahead of Leclerc. I know that Verstappen and Russell had a bit of a get-together on lap one. Verstappen wasn't very pleased on that. You could see the damage he had on the side pods. But Verstappen was still able to get third in the sprint. Russell got fourth in the sprint. Sainz fifth, Alonso sixth, Hamilton seventh, and Stroll eighth. Just as a reminder, for the sprint races, you get 1 point. Sorry, you get 8 points if you win the sprint, and then it keeps on going down by a point all the way down to eighth. So 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1.
Now, did you think my crazy prediction of Daniel Ricciardo actually getting into an F1 car with the damage to Max Verstappen's car was a possibility at this point? Because, your crazy prediction of Logan Sargeant, not that crazy, by the way.
Yeah, no.
Did not come to fruition.
It's
going to
happen eventually, but it's not as crazy as yours.
As mine. But Danny Rick, I know he was on standby, but it just wasn't happening.
In order for that to happen, the driver would have to be damaged. The driver would have to be an injury. I nearly said damaged, like he was the car. No, the driver would have to be injured. I think maybe that could happen.
Especially at a track like...
Yeah. No, but what I'm saying is for the rest of the season, maybe I could see Danny Rick.
Getting an opportunity.
If the Red Bulls just storm away and, you know, there's such a point gap, they're going to be like, you know what, Ricardo, if you want to race,
hop in there.
And then obviously for the race itself, as Bobby said, Perez won, Verstappen second for another Red Bull 1-2, and Leclerc in third for his podium. If I'm not mistaken, yeah, that is his first podium of the year. So great to see Ferrari finally getting onto the podium. But I'm gonna ask you, what was your take on the race? I mean, because like you said, it was a very boring race. The only thing of note was when Nick DeVries crashed out.
And that did play a role in some of it.
It did, because it brought out the safety car. Verstappen pit right before the safety car, so very unlucky, because at that point he was leading the race. But then because of the safety car, the way that the safety car works, in case if our viewers are unaware, is that in a safety car, everyone goes slower because you have to adhere to a maximum speed. That means that and when you're in the pit lane, you also go slow because of the pit lane limits. So, in effect, when everyone else is on track going much slower, you lose less time in a pit stop. So that's why you'll hear a lot of people say, oh, yeah, he got a cheap pit stop or even a free pit stop, depending on the type of safety car and the gap that they have. But Verstappen was jumped by Perez and Leclerc, at least. And then when the race got underway, when the race went back under green flag conditions, Verstappen easily got past Leclerc, but was never able to catch up to Perez, leading Perez to win the race and really get himself back into this championship fight. So, Bobby, I'm gonna ask you, what was your take on the race as a whole? I mean, it wasn't really that much.
So, again, I mean, I mentioned it before, not an instant classic in terms of the race, but you see Max jump out. I mean, you're talking about lap 5. He's in the driver's seat, pun intended.
Nice.
And in not until that safety car, to me, are we seeing Checo make those kind of moves. I mean, to me, what we've talked about,
I'm pretty sure that Checo was gaining on Verstappen. Yeah. So, like, it was a bit unfortunate that we didn't see an on-track overtake, but I feel like that would have been a very interesting battle.
But it's the same storyline, the same narrative. That's why I don't want to say rooting against it when we discussed this last week on the show, but it's Red Bull 1-2. So now you have Max with two wins, Checo with two wins, the most dominant car. And if anything, the main storyline that could come from this narrative is just the potential conundrum that Red Bull is going to have if indeed Checo does win the championship, which I thought it was interesting too. I don't know if you saw that, but there are projections now in terms of computers saying that Checo should win the championship.
Yeah, I mean, so honestly, if you take a look at what happened two races ago now in Australia, Perez had a couple of issues. And if it not for those issues, he could be leading or tied for the championship because he's only 6 points behind Verstappen. So the fact that he is this close, I mean, we're only four races in, but the point is that he is very close to Verstappen. So, you know, this will be a very, very interesting thing because, you know, you have Christian Horner, the team principal. It's like, you know,
managing these two personalities.
Let's be clear. Max is your number one driver. Even 100%. If there are no number one drivers, he's your guy. So the question is, how do you, I guess, let them race, but not in a way that we saw in Mercedes back in 2016, where it was an all-out war. Like, it was not a team. It was just, you know, two separate factions fighting for the same trophy. So it's going to be very interesting to see how he balances the two, because obviously he's going to want to, and he will obviously say publicly, let them race. But how does he enforce that without, you know, turning the team in on itself? But one other thing that happened during the race, and I'm not sure if you saw it happened on the last lap of the race, Bobby. Esteban Ocon had not pitted the entire race.
I did see that.
Yeah, so
I don't think anybody could have missed it if you were watching the race.
Yeah. So for a bit of context, you need to make at least one pit stop to change your tire. That's a mandate, so everyone has to pit at least once. Esteban Ocon was on hard tires the entire time, so what they were going to do is they were going to pit him on the last lap just so that they don't get disqualified. Some people at the FIA, the people who were at the event, so what happens is we have photographers at the event, you know, a whole bunch of reporters, and they are usually at the end of the track, and then they try to, you know, get access or get into a good position to take the winning shot. And I guess the FIA people thought, okay, you know, we can close the pit lane. So you can actually see it. They put like this barrier in front of the pit lane, you know, because they assume, okay, no one's going to pit. It's closed. You know, we can start to get the photographers in position. And I guess no one seems to realize that Esteban Ocon hasn't pitted yet. So on lap 50, he starts to enter the pits and you see photographers in the fast lane, in the pit, like, you know, if they don't move, they're going to get hit by the car. Luckily, you know, you can only go a certain mile. You can only go a certain speed.
Mm-hmm.
I forget what it is. I think it's 50 miles per hour in Azerbaijan. It varies, but I think it's 50. Or maybe that's kilometers. But, you know, you...
Either way, it's quick enough to
hurt
someone.
No one ever wants to get hit by a car.
Let alone an F1 car.
Exactly. So he's going at a reduced speed, and luckily everyone's able to get out of the way. They're able to remove the barrier out of the way, but truly a shambles for the FIA because, you know...
It's just going to provide more content for Drive to Survive. Come on.
It probably will, but, you know, that is very, very irresponsible of what happened. But enough about that. I think we've covered the Azerbaijan Grand Prix long enough. Now it's time to move on to the next segment.
We'll make one final comment because you kind of asked me, like, I would say big takeaways. And I think the rivalry and, if anything, that being good for the sport this year. But I would say the other takeaway, which is something I've mentioned on the show before this season, is just that as great as Max is, he at times does show vulnerabilities.
Especially with the sprint. Yeah, because he...
And I don't know if that's a testament to his youth still. And again, he's a terrific driver.
You can't call him young. How old is he?
Well, I mean, he's still not been in the sport forever. Not, you know, is he a veteran?
He's been here since 2015.
So at this point, I guess you could say maybe veteran at this point.
He's 25.
Which by F1 standards is not so young.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I just think for me the takeaway there is that as great as he is, at times he and maybe every driver does, but at times he shows some vulnerabilities that make it seem like it's possible to envision Checo winning a championship. Because again, I think Checo has been an underrated and terrific driver.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And that might be the only storyline that we get out of this season, Michael. I'm really worried about it. I think it's going to be this domination by Red Bull that mid-year, there's not going to be an opportunity for anybody else to really be in the conversation aside from them, too.
Yeah, I mean, one thing to note, you know, I think this Perez victory was critical for him because, you know, obviously it's a street circuit. He's very good around street circuits. You know, Singapore,
the Street Fighter.
I almost said Bahrain, Jeddah, Azerbaijan. He's very, very good at these tracks. So the fact that he was able to pounce on a track that he's done very well at and able to convert that into a win and the win in the sprint as well. So that's an additional point that he was able to, you know, take. So, you know, and it's like we said, only 6 points and we have a long, long, long season because it's the longest one in history. Only time will tell. But hopefully we see some other teams fight for a win once in a while. But I mean, you know, based on what we saw with Mercedes domination, I mean, 2 years of Red Bull domination, you know, it's not that bad. But going on into our next segment, and I'm going to let you take the lead on this one, we're going to go around the world in other motorsports. So, Bobby.
And we're going to start with IndyCar because everyone knows how much I love IndyCar and open wheel racing here in North America. To me, another week where IndyCar has the better race, Michael. And I know that's going to bother you, but what a fantastic.
On this one, I'm going to be honest, I didn't watch it, but based on watching the Azerbaijan Grand Prix, I wouldn't doubt that IndyCar was better.
Well, I mean, you know, listen, Scott McLaughlin ends up winning the Children's of Alabama Indy Grand Prix on Sunday, April 30th at Barber Motorsports Park. And, you know, another driver that wasn't on pole that wins the race and his fourth NTT IndyCar Series career victory and his first this season for Penske. Penske, of course, has such an outstanding outfit and will be in the championship conversation this year in IndyCar. And for me, you talk about statistics or things that takeaways or things that stand out, Michael, and check this number out, 0.3205. That's the time differential in seconds between the quickest and slowest laps in the Firestone Fast 6 in this event.
What? It was point what?
0.3205.
So 0.3 seconds.
Yes, 0.3 seconds. Yep. So that's the sixth smallest gap in the Fast 6 in IndyCar Series history.
What's the Fast 6 to people who don't know?
The top six, like me? Top six drivers there, okay. And three of the top six have come in the last basically the last 12 months of the series. So, as I've mentioned before here on the show, I mean, you're talking about a very competitive IndyCar series. And it was great to see Scotty Mack, a driver that I think has really come on very strong in the series. And I know you'll appreciate this. On pole was Romain Grosjean.
I was about to say, yeah, I mean, if you take a look at who got second in the race, it's our Phoenix, Romain Grosjean.
Yeah, so he wins the pole at Barber. This is his third NTT P1 award in four races this season.
Nice.
I actually had him winning the race. And
he led most of the laps, if I'm not mistaken. He led 57 out of the 90.
And I'm playing in a league with a bunch of other, we'll say, friends, IndyCar friends, that actually do another podcast. And the week before, I won the race.
There you go.
I picked the podium, did really great, and this time around, not so good. I had Grosjean winning, and even though he finished second, picked up some points, but did not do particularly well, I did not have Scotty Mack. You know how that is with the fantasy stuff. You can't always just pick the best drivers.
So basically, this weekend was a horrible fantasy week. You messed up on F1,
horrible,
you messed up on IndyCar.
I think with the F1 stuff, I was, like I said, rooting for
a different... Do you even have an F1 fantasy team?
Not this year. We talked about that on the show.
Honestly,
but
just
I'm doing
make
IndyCar.
One. I know it's late, but honestly, just make one.
I ended up... That's what happened with the IndyCar stuff. I ended up like being able in that midnight hour just being able to get my team together because last year I did so well. And,
you can still make a team. It's just
year
that
for F1, I just missed the window.
No,
it was so
honestly,
busy.
No. You can still make a team. It's just that you're going to have to deal with the new prices. You know, for example, like Verstappen and Perez.
And Alonso.
Definitely have gone up. Like I was able to get Red Bull and Aston Martin as my constructors before the start of the season. Crazy. But because it was after preseason testing, Aston Martin was so cheap. Now it's like, you know, I basically got a steal. Alonso. But enough of that. So as you said, Scott
McLaughlin, Scotty Mack, yep.
He won the Children's of Alabama Grand Prix, not Grand Prix, apparently.
You could say Grand Prix, but I think a lot of times we say Grand Prix. But yeah, I mean, a little flair for the, I guess, the F1 / the American.
For the international part.
Yeah, for the
international it's not the Grand Prix, it's the Grand Prix.
But, consecutive runner-up finishes for Grosjean, and I think it's only a matter of time before he wins his first IndyCar race.
Honestly, I'm very happy to see him doing well, because obviously in F1, he had a couple of rough patches, especially in 2018, 2012 as well. He has had a couple of rough patches, and the way his F1 career ended in Bahrain in 2020, you know, it's very good to see him, first of all, alive, because, you know, that was a huge, huge crash. But it's very good to see him succeeding as well, you know, in a new sport. It shows that, you know, he's a very good driver, and I'm just happy to see that he's doing well. But I'm going to preview the next IndyCar race, just because why not. The next one is May 13th at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it is the GMR Grand Prix. Bobby, since you know way more about IndyCar than me, you want to give a quick preview about that?
Well, I'm excited, because now, of course, we flipped the calendar, and we've got the month of May. We kind of touched upon it last time on the show, and also, another opportunity for you to watch some more television, because we've got the 100 Days of Indy doc series, and pretty much like IndyCar's version of Drive to Survive. First episode was last Thursday night. We've got an episode tonight.
Oh, what streaming service is that on?
And that's on the CW.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it's I thought they did a nice job. Episode one, I think it's very good. You know, it's to me, I don't want to get into that sort of stuff being like a critic, but I felt it's not going to be as good as Drive to Survive, and it's kind of coming on, we'll say, you know, after Drive to Survive, but at the same time, I think it has its own spin on how to put together a docuseries, and more specific because it's that 100 days leading up to the Indy 500. So it basically takes you from the start of the opening of the IndyCar series season in St. Pete, and it basically will follow along and kind of be like a week behind. And as opposed to reviewing the season like Drive to Survive does, mm-hmm. where it's, you know, the year after. But it was great to see them getting some exposure. And, you know, for me, and I know you'll appreciate this because I know how much you love F1, but you look at the championship standings and you've got some familiar faces, whether it's Marcus Ericsson there at the top.
I've heard of him.
The gap in points in the NTT IndyCar series, the championship leader is Ericsson, but the second place Pato Award, it's 15 points,
yeah.
You know, so you have a lot
Grosjean's
of drivers
fifth.
and Grosjean still in the conversation as well, because this series, of course, early in the event calendar. But to answer your question about the month of May, my favorite time in IndyCar, it leads up to the Indy 500. We'll get a chance to see my favorite time in IndyCar.
No, it was a joke, Bobby.
Oh, it was a joke? I missed
yeah,
it.
Yeah, No, it's because you said the Indy 500. I was like, what's that?
Oh, what's the Indy 500? Yeah, I mean, that's not a joke. Come on.
But, So honestly, you know, a great month of May for IndyCar. We're going to quickly touch on your other favorite motorsport, which is, of course, MotoGP. Over the weekend, it was the Gran Premio de España at the Jerez Circuit.
Better you say that than me. Yeah.
I try. At the Jerez Circuit. I'm going to butcher these names. It was Bagnaia.
Bagnaia.
Bagnaia
won, yes, the Ducati.
Yep. He won. So he still leads the championship by a good 22 points.
Yeah, two Ducati riders in the top four.
Mm-hmm. And then you had KTM in second and third with Binder and Miller.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'm messing up those pronunciations, but anything's possible. But I just wanted to touch on that because I know you're such a big MotoGP fan. So, how do I pronounce his name again?
Bagnaia.
Thank you. Bagnaia is still leading the riders' championship. As for the constructors, Ducati has a healthy lead. I mean, actually, I don't really know if it's a healthy lead. It is 56 points, if my math is correct, ahead of KTM. So Ducati is leading the constructors. And I guess to preview the next race, it's not for a while. I think the only motorsport race happening this weekend in IndyCar, MotoGP, and F1 is Miami. The next MotoGP race is the Grand Prix de France on May 14th.
Le Mans.
Is it?
It should be Le Mans, right?
No, it says at the Bugatti circuit. Wait, no, hold on.
I think you got the wrong thing going on here.
That's what it says on Google. It says the Bugatti circuit. I highly doubt that that's a thing. Yeah, but honestly, I'm showing you this, Bobby. Look, it says Ducati.
He's got his computer, folks.
It says Bugatti circuit. I don't know what that is. It has to be at Le Mans, just because I've never heard of a Bugatti circuit, because when I looked it up, it came up like it didn't give me anything. So I don't really know where that came from. But while you look that up, I'm going to...
Yeah, as far as I know, it's Le Mans should be next.
Yeah, so...
Which makes sense, because it's the French, basically the French GP. Yes, it is Le Mans.
Okay, so I don't know why it said that. Apologies to the viewers I gave
Google lied to you.
Yeah, I'm going to put the blame completely...
The French GP. We can just call it that if you need to.
I'm going to put the blame completely on Google. But as we move on to our final segment, as I mentioned just a couple of minutes ago, the only race in the Big Three that's happening is F1, so we're going to pivot to that.
So, just real quick, though, because, yeah, talk about takeaways. We didn't really spend too much time with MotoGP.
I don't know that much about MotoGP.
I know you don't, but we're going to get you into this stuff.
Go for it.
I think for me, obviously, Binaya has been great, but I think one of the things that I was curious about, and that's the health of Marc Marquez. I don't know how familiar you are with him. But he provided some updates on his comeback plans, and he said right now that his participation in the French GP is pretty much up in the air. So it's interesting to see whether or not he'll be able to go, because he ended up having to withdraw from his home race last week, and was basically targeting a comeback at Le Mans, and right now that's in doubt. And he said he was telling Spanish TV, Michael, this week that it's up to the doctors. So to me, Marquez still, if he's healthy, is the best rider in the MotoGP paddock. And there's some other good ones. We talked about Quartararo and Mir and Bagnaia the last time that we touched on MotoGP. And I'll be rooting for Marc Marquez to be there, basically, is what I'm saying.
All right. Well, I'm very happy that you know about MotoGP, because or else that would have been a horrible segment for me to talk on. But now we're going to pivot to the Miami Grand Prix, which is this.
You don't
want to
talk any little bit about NASCAR? I know you should talk. We got to get you into NASCAR.
Well, I mean,
too,
we could talk about NASCAR, but don't forget, I'm supposed to record FUVFC
coming up shortly.
Technically,
fans don't care about FUVFC.
Technically, I'm supposed to do it in 2 minutes, but we're just going to push that back. Because I'm the A-host, and they can, if they want to complain about it, they're just going to complain to me, so deal with it. as I said, and also, you are the sports director, so, it's not like it's going to go anywhere. Looking ahead to the first of three races in the United States, it is in Miami, so I'm going to give you some information of the Miami International Autodrome, which is surrounded by the... Hard Rock Stadium, where the Miami Dolphins play. I believe that's the name of the stadium. The first Grand Prix was last year, so this is its second edition. There are 57 laps. The circuit length is 5.412 kilometers, with a race distance of over 308 kilometers and a lap record of 1 minute 31.361. And that lap record was set, obviously, last year by...
Charles Leclerc.
Wrong, Max Verstappen.
Max Verstappen.
Yeah. So obviously, like I said, it made its debut last year.
But didn't Leclerc win pole last year? Or am I wrong?
Give me 2 seconds to pull up the race report if this Wi-Fi works. According to this, it says, I believe Leclerc was pole.
See, that's why.
Ferrari 1-2.
It wasn't
apparently.
Me just being a Ferrari fan. It was me thinking about him winning pole.
This was a Ferrari 1-2, if I'm not mistaken. It was Leclerc on pole.
Yeah, but Max won the race.
Yeah, no, but the thing to know is that it was a Ferrari 1-2. I know it's a rarity these days.
And a 2-3 in the race with Leclerc.
Was Perez fourth? I don't really remember much of last year, because that was the weekend.
Yeah, I just pulled it up too here. So it's was right about that. It's Max, Leclerc, Sainz.
Yeah, and then Perez. Yeah,
and then Perez.
This was the weekend I came back from London, so I was extremely jet lagged. But I remember this was on ABC.
And
like
then
I was
Russell
like, oh my
and
God.
Hamilton fifth and sixth too.
Yeah. And it's like you said. It was a Ferrari 1-2 in qualifying. It was Leclerc, then Sainz, Verstappen, Perez. I'm not going to go through the rest of it because that's all of last year. But, yeah. So honestly, that was a bit of information about the Miami Grand Prix. Obviously, we're coming off of this is a doubleheader, so not really that much time to rest and recuperate for the drivers and the teams. I'm going to ask you, what's your takeaway or what things are you looking forward to heading into this race?
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm not trying to be difficult even about your picks last time around, but I think we'll probably see more of the same. I'm assuming that we'll see more dominance by Red Bull, and hopefully, to me, Ferrari is not really as far behind as we've mm-hmm. made it out to be. You know, I actually think that they've performed a bit better of late, and I'm hoping for more, from them. And I could see that this being a good spot for them coming into this weekend. And, I think it's become clear that I think it will end up being Checo and Max for mm-hmm. all the tea in China, as they say, for the championship. But okay. We'll see.
One thing I forgot to mention in my track analysis, if we even want to call it that, is that there are 19 turns. I forgot to mention the amount okay. of turns. I gave you everything else but that. One thing to note is that there are three DRS zones. However, I heard a report that they may be reducing them just by a bit, just like they did in Azerbaijan.
And this year there'll actually be real water at the track, I think.
I did hear that as well. But one thing, I'm going to bounce off of that. I don't think this will be that good for Ferrari, because their tire degradation has not been good this year. And as we all know, or maybe if you don't know, when you think of Miami in May, you're going to think it's going to be pretty hot. So it's going to be very, very interesting mm-hmm. to see how the tires
hold up.
But I do agree. I think if there's a time for Perez to, really give himself a shot of this title, he's going to have to, perform this weekend. Obviously, he finished fourth last year. That's his only result because, there's only been one race in Miami. But I do expect that we're going to see a very good Red Bull battle. Obviously, as you mentioned, the Ferrari, the Mercedes, the Aston Martin, that's kind of like up in the air as for the spots of, from third all the way to eighth. Those six spots, they could be interchanged between any one of those six drivers, between Leclerc, Sainz, Hamilton, George, Alonso, and Russell. Alonso and Stroll, apologies. So it's going to be very, very, very interesting to see how those teams are able to tackle that. I think it's time for our race predictions.
Well, we could do race predictions. Excuse me.
Okay?
I'm losing my voice here.
That's
already.
Not good.
But I just want to just throw it back out there, because I know you're not going to be happy about it. But NASCAR is racing this weekend, too.
Ugh.
Okay? So right. Sunday, May 7th, Kansas Speedway. And just throw that out there for our NASCAR fans. And we're going to get Michael more involved in MotoGP and IndyCar and NASCAR and maybe even Moto America this year. But go ahead. Race predictions.
Maybe. I'm going to let you go with your race.
Red Bull. Let's go Max to win this week.
Shocker. Okay. And
picking the rest of the podium?
Yeah. Come on. The whole podium. Come on.
I'm going to say, because we have to have crazy predictions here, too.
You can do your three, actual put, and then your one crazy prediction. For example, my one crazy prediction last week was Sargeant is going to get points. So, give me your actual podium.
So crazy,
podium,
Michael.
And then,
living large over here.
He's in a Williams, okay? It's actually a bit of And one thing to note, this is a proper F1 weekend now. Now it's back to the normal FP1, FP2 tomorrow. Those times are from 2 to 3, and then 5:30 to 6:30. Then practice 3 is on Saturday from 12:30 to 1:30. Qualifying is from 4 to 5 on Saturday. And then the race itself is at 3:30 Eastern Standard Time. Now go ahead with your predictions.
Let's just go Max, Checo, and Leclerc.
I'm sorry. Wait. You said Max,
Checo,
Leclerc. So basically a very obvious podium.
Yeah, I'm going to go very obvious since you went very obvious last week.
Okay,
and it's so boring.
So,
all the more reason why everyone should watch IndyCar.
So does this mean it's my turn
yeah,
this
go
week?
For it. Yep.
No, but since you went boring, should I go with crazy?
Go crazy. Give me something crazy. Give me Stroll on pole.
Well, the issue is I want to be right. Oh, no. You didn't mention who was going to be on pole. You just said your podium prediction. I might as well go for that.
I'll take Max. Max on pole.
That's such an obvious answer.
Again, I love F1. I'm hoping for something else.
You are wearing a very nice F1 jacket.
Thank you.
So am I a little bit. I think I'm going to go the inverse of the Red Bull because I really want to see Perez lead the championship for a bit.
I would love to see that. I like Checo very much.
I do think Verstappen will get pole. I think Perez is going to win, Verstappen second, and I'm going to back Alonso to get third.
Okay. He actually did pretty well for me this last week.
He did.
Just not good enough to get on the podium.
I don't know about a crazy prediction because I really want Sargeant to get points.
Did you see that? They really weren't that far off the pace of the Ferrari.
Yeah, no, yeah.
They were right there.
Exactly, they were, yeah. He was, I think, maybe 2 seconds off of the final podium spot. Crazy prediction. Sargeant's going to get points. Again,
you're going to go back with it. I'm going to go
It's his home race. You know, I've never been to the Miami race. Apparently, the tickets are cheaper now than it was last year. It's too late to go now, or is it? But I do think Sargeant will get his first points in front of the home American crowd.
I'm going to say that Lewis abruptly announces his retirement and becomes a fashion model in Miami full-time.
What's your actual crazy prediction?
Actual crazy prediction. That would be pretty good,
right? If that happens, Lewis, I will be... I don't want to say anything, but
I will...
That'll be shocking. An actual race prediction.
Actual race prediction. Yeah, I mean, to me, we've been saying it, though. Really, nothing crazy's been happening. I mean, that race was
so
just...
So give me something. Just give me something.
I want something like that to happen.
Verstappen crashes out. I don't know, something.
No, I think it would be like Verstappen poisons Checo's tea in the morning, and then he can't race on race day.
And
no,
then Ricciardo drives, and fulfills
Ricciardo
your other prediction.
Drives and fulfills my other prediction. How about we see, I'm going to say a top 10 finish.
So points.
For Nick DeVries.
That's actually a very good bet. Well, not a bet. That's a very good prediction because he's had a interesting couple of races. So has Sargeant. But I think that is going to do it for this week's episode, Bobby. It's always a pleasure having
Pleasure's
you.
Pleasure's mine, Michael.
But yeah, we're probably going to do another one next week.
I hope so. I enjoy doing the podcast.
Yeah.
I wish we could just do this all the time as opposed to actually having like other things to do in terms of work and such.
Well, I do agree with you on that, but I do think that's it for today. Bobby, thanks for coming on as always. And yeah, guys, we will see you next week.
See you next time.
Have a good one, guys.